Cozy TV.
I used to think that the Shroud of Turin was a forgery. The reason I thought that is because the Catholic Church believed it was real, and the Catholic Church was in possession of it. But then I thought, well, the Ark of the Covenant was in possession of the Philistines. Think about it. Does that mean the Ark of the Covenant was fake? Someone recently did an AI image taken from the face on the Shroud of Turin. I'm going to show you that image now. I know I haven't introduced myself yet, but this is far more important. I believe that that is not an accurate AI image, because whoever this man is on the shroud is not nearly as beautiful as the AI image. The AI image, clearly, if you ask me, has been manipulated to make a beautiful man out of a man in the shroud that is clearly, who is clearly not beautiful. And I realize that the man on the shroud has been beaten and tortured and murdered, so you're not going to look your best. But still, this AI reproduction is not the same person, if you ask me. This is Martin Zender, and welcome to the show. I want to read Isaiah chapter 53 out of the Concordant version of the Old Testament, and then out of a paraphrase, Eugene Peterson's The Message, because this is the famous prophecy of our Lord of how he looked. And I should say, from Isaiah's point of view, how he would look, how he would be, how he would be despised, how he was entombed, and what the world would think of him. And it happened precisely as Isaiah said, because Isaiah was inspired by God. I want to read these passages just to help us to never let us forget what our Lord did for us and how he was more despised and he was worse looking and more ill-treated than any of us ever have been or could be. As much as some of us may want to curse our parents for our bad looks or wish we had more friends, wish we could be more popular, this man, our Lord Jesus Christ, had the kind of face that people literally looked away when they saw it. And I can see that on the shroud image. I don't like the AI reproduction because I don't think it's true AI. Anyway, I believe, and this does not have anything to do with my faith, because obviously if I had evidence, then I wouldn't need faith. I believe the Shroud of Turin is authentic. And this is why. With all of our technology today, and everyone will admit this, no one knows how, if it is a forgery, even if it's not a forgery, let me finish that sentence. No one knows how it was made. The image on the shroud is not made with paint. It's not made with any dye. It is so superficial, like just only 2 microns deep. It is not a penetrative substance. Let me repeat what I just said. No one in the year 2024, with all of our vaunted technology, no one can explain how the image got on the shroud. I mean, that's really all you need to know. No one can explain it. No one. No one. No one. There was a famous carbon 14 dating done in 1988, which really caused millions of people, okay, this is obviously a fake, because it dated the shroud like to the Middle Ages, around the 1300s or something like that. Yeah. But they were supposed to take four samples. I've done a lot of research on this over the years, and some most recently. But they were supposed to take four samples of the shroud to do separate carbon datings, but they only took one piece and gave that piece. They took that piece and split it four ways and gave it to different organizations. But they took it from the corner of the edge where it has been handled for hundreds and hundreds of years. And you can do the research for yourself if you're so inclined. The carbon dating was so flawed. But in 2022, they did something called wide-angle X-ray scattering, which measures the natural aging of flax cellulose. The shroud is made of flax, the kind that grew in first century Judea. And, of course, the weave is 3-1 herringbone weave, which is also common in the first century. They found pollen on the thing, which can be traced to plants that were native to that region in the first century. Anyway, the wide-angle X-ray scattering measuring system of the natural aging of flax cellulose has put the shroud in the first century. I remember Rick Farwell, the pastor of the church in South Carolina. I used to talk at once in a while. He said, well, can't be that because the face cloth was separate. John 20, verses 6 through 7, the face cloth was in a separate place. Well, let's look at that briefly in John chapter 20, verse 6 and 7. Simon Peter also then is coming, following him, and he entered into the tomb, following John. He entered into the tomb, and he is beholding the swathings lying, and the handkerchief which was on his head, not lying with the swathings, but folded up in one place apart. So if the image on the shroud is of the face, and it's on, it appears with the rest of the body, what's with the face cloth? Well, the face cloth went this way, vertically, around the head, on the head, exactly as stated in the scripture, because to keep the jaw shut. So there's that. Did I say that no one knows how the shroud was created? Like I say, I don't need this to have faith in Christ. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But if someone told you that we have an actual photograph, because many believe this was made with radiation, this image was produced by radiation, much as the radiation in Hiroshima would leave shadows of people, of victims of the radiation. You would see their shadow against the wall created by the radiation. I believe this is a photograph of Jesus Christ. A nanosecond before he opened his eyes. When the power of God came on him and then burst out of him, I don't know. But why not? Why not? So what if the Catholic Church has it? Is this thing changing the faith of anybody? No. People who don't believe in God aren't going to believe because of this. And people who already do, it doesn't matter if this is legit or not. Okay, it's a really, really great forgery. Like an amazing forgery that only shows up in three-dimensional when you take a negative image of it. Nobody knew that, because if you look at the shroud by itself, as I'm showing you now, of course, you'd have no, the startling three-dimensionality of the image does not come out. And it was Secundo Pia, an Italian photographer in 1898, who took the first photograph of the shroud. And when he was in his dark room developing the print, he talked about keeping your jaw up against your cheekbone. I mean, this, when he saw this, it was quite amazing. And what middle-aged artist knew about this, or could have produced an image, even with some dye or some paint or some powder, which no traces of that anywhere on the shroud. Everybody admits that. Even the greatest skeptics. How would they know that to make a negative image, that when photographed hundreds of years later, it would show a positive image? Does this help my faith? It doesn't hurt it. It doesn't hurt it. Of course, all the wounds are consistent with the scriptural account of our Lord's torture and his brutal death. Don't want to go into any details on that. Don't need to. Let me go to Isaiah. I'm going to read from the Concordant Version of the Old Testament, just to keep us constantly have before us the sacrifice our Lord made for us. This is how 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5, our gospel can be true. This is why Christ died for our sins. This is the prophecy concerning that. And Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 5 that he became a sin. He became sin, basically. Offering is in light face type. He became sin. He took on our sin. He wasn't sin, but he became it. God took our sin and put it on him, and he died for us so that we could now live in newness of life. And a prophet named Isaiah prophesied about this. He says this. I'm going to read the whole chapter in two versions. First, the Concordant Literal New Testament. I can't stop to comment too much because of time. Who believes our report? And the arm of Yahweh, to whom is it revealed? I have to comment already. Very few, ladies and gentlemen, very few is the arm of Yahweh revealed. He shall grow up like a young shoot before him, and like a root sprout from arid earth. He has no shapeliness nor honor that we should observe him, and no such appearance that we should covet him. A man of pains and knowing illness, and as a concealing of faces from him, he is despised, and we judge him of no account. Surely he himself has borne our illnesses and our pains. He was burdened with them. As for us, we accounted him assaulted, smitten of Elohim, and humbled. Yet he was wounded because of our transgressions and crushed because of our depravities. The discipline of our well-being was on him, and with his welts comes healing for us. All of us, like a flock, have strayed, each to his own way. We have turned around, yet Yahweh himself causes the depravity of us all to come upon him. Hard pressed is he, and he himself is humbled, yet he is not opening his mouth. Like a flockling led to slaughter, like a flockling to slaughter is he fetched. And as a ewe is mute before her shearers, he is not opening his mouth. From restraint and from judgment, he is taken. And on his personal fate, who is meditating? For he is severed from the land of the living. Because of the transgressions of my people, he is led to death. And they appoint his tomb with the wicked, with the rich his sepulcher. Although he had done no wrong, and no deceit was in his mouth, yet Yahweh desires to crush him, and he causes him to be wounded. Should his soul place a guilt offering, he shall see a seed. He shall lengthen days, and the desire of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. From the toil of his soul he shall see light, and he shall be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many, and with their depravities he himself shall be burdened. Therefore I shall apportion to him among the many, and with the staunch shall he apportion the spoils, inasmuch as he empties out his soul to death, and with transgressors is he counted. He himself bears the sin of many, and for the transgressors shall he make intercession. Isaiah chapter 53, Eugene Peterson's The Message. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him, and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum, but the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements. All the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for our own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. He was beaten. He was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried, and he was let off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They entombed him with the wicked, threw him in a tomb with the rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he gave himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones, as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch. Because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep.